So I'm also grappling with this notion of being a keynote and a metal Mickey. It gives me great opportunity, it gives me great pleasure to have this opportunity to introduce the day in terms of our debate around information. And my role specifically, I think, is to set the context for the debates that we are going to be having later on today. So why, in our view at IBM, is information so important to sustainability? And why should we indeed spend a whole day in debating it within the context of this START conference? Well, I think my view very much is around the opportunity that we have, the unprecedented opportunity for technology to solve some of the biggest problems that we face in the world today. Just reading the newspapers, seeing what's happening in Pakistan and so on and so forth, we know that the challenges that we face in our world today are indeed huge. But equally, I think, the opportunity for technology to solve those problems is unprecedented. And in my view, that's because of the confluence of these three factors. These three factors create an environment for technology and for technology solutions, which is unprecedented, and which I think creates an environment that is the most propitious and advantageous for taking advantage of technology that we've seen in the history of human development. The world is incredibly and increasingly instrumented. There are sensors in all of the systems that exist within our world. There are sensors within man-made systems, in bridges and roads and machinery. But equally, sensors now in natural systems. There are sensors in rivers, in waterways, and even in livestock. By the end of this year, it's estimated there'll be 30 billion RFID tags in the world, tracking how physical objects and goods are moving within our world. And if we know much more about what's going on within our world, that data, the product of that, is much more interconnected. There are 6 to 7 billion people in the world. 4 billion of those already have mobile phones. 2 billion people are on the internet. And the devices that they have, that interconnectivity, have a computational power that we would only have guessed at 10 or 20 years ago. So truly what we're seeing now is the creation of what we call an Internet of Things. And finally, in intelligence, we now have the ability, through the data that we derive from those sensors and the way that we can connect them all up, to make something of it and to provide those solutions to those pressing problems that we face. Take traffic congestion that Stephen alluded to, for example. In Stockholm, we've been working where we have sensors in roads and bridges that understand where the traffic is flowing. We have the analytics that are able to understand the patterns of that, and to be able to predict where traffic should be moved to in order to improve congestion. And we have the interconnectivity to move that traffic through traffic lights, through adjustments to tunnels and bridges and so on and so forth, and even in some cases to notify individuals and consumers what route they should take, what time they should leave, and actually control the demand on the systems. Bringing together that technology and applying it to that problem reduces congestion in Stockholm by 22% and pollution by 14%. That's the opportunity that technology brings to some of these huge and intractable problems that thus far, for which solutions have eluded us. But if you look at that equation and think, what's the animating element of that equation? Then it's intelligence. It's information as the raw material and intelligence acting upon that that is driving those technological solutions. And the revolution, to my mind, within intelligence and information is around two elements. Firstly, the vast increase, the tsunami, in the amount of data that we now have available to us. The world produces 15 petabytes of data every day. That's equivalent to 8 times the physical contents of America's libraries. Enterprise data is increasing by 57% a year. 2 billion emails are sent every year. And in the list of increasingly preposterous statistics as we try and grapple with the scale of this data tsunami, my own favorite is that by the end of this year, there will be 988 exabytes, whatever they are, of digital data, which is equivalent to a row of books stretching from the sun to Pluto and back. That being a journey that I've yet to take, I find it not of much use to me. However, That data is also increasingly unstructured. 80% of that data is unstructured in terms of video content, audio, blogs, and so on and so forth. So vast amounts of data, but very difficult for us to process. And therefore, the other part of the revolution is the new ability that we have to make sense of it. Three things, I think. First of all, the power that we now have. And I could talk about the technology and increasing in processing time and so on and so forth, but I think the best example for this, for me, is the world community grid, where scientists are making use and harvesting unused capacity in PCs across the world in order that they can use that to address some of the big medical problems that we're facing, such as cancer. 300,000 years of runtime has been harvested so far to apply to that problem. An excellent example to me about how you can now concentrate power in a sustainable way to address some of these problems. We also have the ability to make sense of some of that unstructured data that I referred to earlier. At IBM, we have a product called Cobra that looks at that vast unstructured data and tries to pick out the patterns from it and the analytics. A great example being some work we did on Vegemite, of all things, where we looked at 1.5 billion postings relating to on the internet in order to understand references to Vegemite. From that, we were able to deduce that there are 32 unique uses to which Australians put Vegemite. And whilst that awful thought is hanging in your mind, I would say we were then able, however, to drive a 9% increase in sales on the back of the marketing campaign that resulted from that. But if you think about that ability then to get patterns out of unstructured data, then the final element, I think, in the revolution in how we use data is in its timeliness. We now have the ability to process this vast amount in real time. Stream computing, for example, enables us to bring all of that together at the point of use for people such as doctors. We've been working in neonatal units in Canada, for example, where we're able to take the normal environmental data that surrounds premature babies, but also match that with biomedical data around heartbeat and respiration, and then to predict what's going to happen to those premature babies in order to improve their chances of life. So this information revolution, the revolution in the volume and our ability to process it, is clearly going to have massive implications in how we apply that to sustainability. I've talked about road congestion, but when we think about sustainability, it's a combination. It's the understanding of environmental impact, but also the social and economic needs and how we work all of those things together in order to create a sustainable society and a sustainable impact on our planet. Think then just of the social things that we can do with this. We think of cities, the exploding population in cities. And that, of course, brings pressures on sustainability just in terms of how people get along with each other and around crime, for example. Well, we've been working with New York City Police, and we've been able to put together their physical databases, all their notes and records that they keep, along with their digital databases, in order to be able to cross-reference something like 121 million criminal records, 33 million complaints, 33 billion public records, in order to actually identify in criminal situations who the list of suspects might be, to actually bring up the pictures on a two-story video wall. Those of you who've seen Minority Report will know exactly what I'm talking about. That opportunity to visualize those suspects and then to move your police resources very quickly to sort those people out. That's the sort of potential we're talking about here with technology. And we can really make a huge impact on these sustainability issues through its application. But as always, the thing that stands between us and that solution is the human dimension. When we and IBM embarked on this journey, and particularly in global business services, we saw the business opportunity that sits with this information revolution and the ability then to exploit these analytics. We asked the Economist Intelligence Unit to understand from managers within business how they felt about the information revolution and their understanding of analytics. 3 out of 4 managers said that despite the explosion of information and analytics, they nonetheless relied upon their intuition and personal experience. 75% of people, therefore, are still operating on gut instinct. 42% of people said that even when they had used some of the information that was available to them, they felt that they had made a wrong decision. One small example in my mind about how it'll be the human issues and the human barriers that stand between us and exploiting these technological solutions to fix some of these sustainability issues. And that leads me then into setting the context for you for the debates that we'll be having this morning and this afternoon around information. In the morning, I think, focusing on the human dimension in the sense of what are the challenges around information? What are the ethics in our use of information? What are the boundaries? How much information should we be holding on individuals? And how do we reconcile that and become comfortable with that? What are the politics of information? Who should actually access and control it? Knowledge is power, and the vast amounts of this information is going to concentrate power in some places that we may be very uncomfortable with, and we need to understand that and to be able to work that through. And finally, this tsunami of data has to be managed itself in a sustainable way. From a geographical point of view, how are we going to manage it? Where are we going to manage it? How are we going to ensure that we take advantage of this new resource in a way that is consistent with our environment? And so if we talk about the challenges in the morning, then in the afternoon, I think we're moving on to the more practical issues that we'll need to deal with in order to take advantage of this information revolution. What information should we collect within the tsunami? Which bits of flotsam and jetsam are we going to pull out from that data? How are we going to use that information more effectively for some of the sustainability applications that I referred to? And finally, as this information changes and evolves and mutates, how are we going to learn to understand how we interpret it and how we make the best sense of it? So in conclusion, therefore, I think we have an enormous opportunity to address the sustainability issues through technology and through this confluence of instrumentation, interconnectivity, and intelligence. And intelligence is the animating principle and is at the heart of it. And we therefore must grapple with these issues around information in order to exploit and take advantage of that opportunity. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the talking this morning and this afternoon. Thank you very much.